The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Anyway, nice to see everyone. And I'm going to talk about, hopefully, some teaching on how better relate to our feelings and emotions. And it's, to me, a very critical and often hard to understand aspect of Buddhist practice is how to properly relate to it. And I'll actually talk to people who've been practicing a long time, and often they don't really understand how to relate to when they feel bad, or actually how to relate to when they feel good. And of course, an underlying fact is that we all want to feel good and not bad. From the moment you come, you know, from babies to small children, to, you know, everyone, adults, adolescents, we all want to feel good. And in a way, Buddhism promises a solution to suffering. But how does this solution to suffering work with the fact that we still are going to confront in life difficult and painful feelings? And training will not eliminate the fact that you're going to have difficult and painful feelings. It's even appropriate in a way to have difficult and painful feelings, because, for instance, if somebody around you is suffering deeply, it would be weird and inappropriate and wrong. It would feel wrong to feel great. I'm feeling wonderful. I know you're falling to pieces and are suicidal, but I'm doing okay. No, you want to feel, you know, that's part of the compassion, is actually you're sharing in the pain and the difficult feeling. But on the other hand, we have to learn how not to get caught up in the feelings, so the feelings can pass through us like the weather. And we realize we don't have to care and make a problem out of the fact this feels good, this feels bad. And we can just concentrate on the fact and realize, and we don't have to be disturbed by it. It's one of the reasons we meditate, is actually you're trying to sit there no matter how you feel. And actually, that's why it's hard. Because you have to sit there no matter how you feel and try not to react to those feelings and just let them arise and pass. And by doing that, you can actually start seeing better and seeing with wisdom what's really going on, while if you're just caught up in the reaction, God, I hate this. This feels awful. This hurt my feelings. And you think of how easy it is to hurt our feelings. Think of how sensitive we are. People will be devastated by someone's look. I remember, you know, just like, I remember somebody said, but you looked at me. And I'm thinking, okay. And actually, our feelings underlie everything that has meaning in our life. If you don't feel anything deeply, it doesn't mean anything. Same way as you can walk out of a Dharma talk, and everyone's done this, thought, wow, that makes sense, and then completely ignored it. Why? Because you didn't really feel it in your heart. You know, it just, wow, I shouldn't get angry. I should be kinder. And it just floats away. Nice idea, but so what? And then you confront an annoying person. Just like I always like a story of someone that I like using, where when I was guest master here, and he's giving his very first Dharma talk, and he gives a Dharma talk on anger, and it went really well. You know, people liked him. He said, wow, everybody was thanking him at the end of the class. And he walked out of the guest house, saw somebody doing something on the lawn, and lost his temper. And, of course, how do you know, and actually we all have, you know what I mean, it doesn't, because it's very easy to do, because we have to take the teaching deeply into our hearts, so it changes how we perceive things. And sometimes it does. You know, you can just see something is damaging, and we do it. Just like the way we learn to deeply take the precepts is just seeing very deeply how much harm comes out of wrong action. And when you do that, it's not like, wow, this, it's automatic. It's like not touching a hot stove. You're not enlightened because you don't want to touch a hot stove. Why would you touch a hot stove? Or if you're chopping vegetables, wow, I'm doing really well. I chop the vegetables and not my fingers. That doesn't come up because we actually know we don't. The karma is clear. But often we can be angry, irritated and angry with someone we love, and we don't even see the harm because we're caught up in what we want, and we don't see the fact that we're breaking a precept and we're actually causing harm. If we could see that, and sometimes you do see it. I've sometimes said something to someone and looked at their face and thought, okay, I just blew it. Because I could see that I really hurt somebody and have to kind of, okay, I didn't realize, or I didn't, you know, most of the time I didn't mean to really hurt them, so, but I felt deeply, you know, okay, that wasn't a good thing to do. And the deep feelings, I remember listening to a podcast, what's it called, Hidden Brain, on public radio, and the fellows kind of doing a whole thing on the fact that often we have to follow our mind and not our heart. You know, what we, you know, do what we, our mind thinks to do and not what we feel like we should do. And I thought, actually, he's missing the point. They're actually not understanding something fundamental. The reason you're doing what your mind wants is it's felt in the heart that there's a deeper need in that. And I'll give you an example. If somebody's wants to be a doctor. They're knocking themselves out through 4 years of college, so they get into med school. Then they're knocking themselves out in medical school to be a doctor. Then they're going through an internship. Then they're going through usually a specialty training, all to be a doctor. And then the internship, they're up 100 hours, you know, doing those absurd things. And you think, oh, they're all following their head. The reason they're doing it is in their heart. Deeply, they want to be a doctor. And that's actually carrying them through the whole thing. Just like, you know, being a new mother, you're carried through incredibly hard things by just the fact that in your heart, you feel very strongly, hopefully, taking care of this baby is the most important thing. And that's one of the things that makes training work. You know, your Buddhist practice won't work unless you feel deeply, this is what I need to do. This is how I'm going to solve my suffering and help others. So, you know, and until it goes deeply into your heart and you feel it, it won't work. Simple as that. Sometimes I talk to people all the time, and sometimes I can just tell by talking to them, why, they found this interesting, but so what? You know? Just like people will sometimes tell me how much they enjoy, like they came to a day retreat and they tell me they enjoyed it. And I kind of think, I don't care if you enjoy it. Did you get something that you can actually do? You know what I mean? That goes into your heart. So when you leave here, you're going to do something. Otherwise, it was just a nice day. Just like, you know, you're not here to have a nice week. You're here hopefully to do something that has an impact on your life. That's what matters, your life, not how this week goes. And naturally, I'm not expecting a retreat to, wow, that's going to transform your life, but the degree it helps is a degree that you can take it into your heart and start approaching things differently. And, you know, just like, you know, the example of someone who's an alcoholic, they don't stop drinking until they feel deeply. I mean, they almost always know they shouldn't be drinking. But until it really hits them, whenever that is, you know, and at some point the people who stop, usually at some point it just hit them hard that they can't keep going this way. And I've had people in relationships just do the same thing. They realize they better change or the relationship won't work. And but the ground of practice with feeling is, instead of being the usual worldly thing is that the world's full of, is how do I feel better? I want to feel better. I want to feel good. And of course, everybody wants to feel better and feel good. It's, you know, just like saying, I like to eat food I like. I would enjoy, of course, you know, I would rather eat something I like more than something I don't like. I would like, you know, I want people to like me and not hate me, all these things. But the idea in Buddhism is how is to wholeheartedly accept whatever feeling arises and realize we're not being bound by it. And that it's actually not that deeply significant, just what we're feeling. It's giving us information which is vital, because feelings are the way we interact with the world. You know, they're giving us feedback all the time on, wow, this feels good, this feels bad, this is, you know, I shouldn't, you know, doing this, you know, when I do this, you know, I get this done, it has this feeling. When I interact with a person, it has that feeling. And we're sensitive, and part our sensitivity comes through, we feel. And there's nothing wrong with the feelings. It's how we know things. It's how we learn things. But on the other hand, you have to, from a Buddhist, just see what the feeling is and then realize it's okay. What's good to do here? What is right? Not how you feel about it, but what is the right thing? What's going to cause good to come forth? Because that's what matters, not how much you would like doing it or not like doing it, or how enjoyable or unenjoyable it is. Often there's things where it doesn't matter. You know, you're free to do something you enjoy or not enjoy. It's like sometimes people are doing a job and they hate the job, and I kind of go, well, can't you try to do something else? It's not like you're forced with luck, you know, unless that's your only choice. But if it's not, you can do something, you know. You know, it's not like right action is always requires you to do that job. But the training is to wholeheartedly be with whatever feelings arise, whether joy or sorrow, pain or pleasure, love or hate, you know, desire, fear. And not make a problem out of it. It's not a problem you feel something. And that's one of the, again, the delusions people will have is, well, I have this desire. I have this fear. I'm jealous of this. I want that. I don't want this. Doesn't matter. You can try to do what's right. And the fact that you have a feeling, it'll come and go. What difference is it? Like, I can't stand this person. Who cares? You know. What's good to do with the relation to them? And actually, the feelings change. There's been people we've all been had couldn't stand, and after a while, they become our friends. You know, it's, and then there are some of our friends become people we can't stand. You know, and there isn't a problem there. It's just what's right to do, what's going to bring a good result, and how do you treat everyone well? Treat them kindly no matter how you feel. You know, and try to treat them all like a Buddha no matter how you feel. And because Buddhism isn't going to eliminate the arising of difficult feelings, but learning just that we can be still with them and let them just arise and pass. Same way as you're trying to do in meditation. You've actually been all sitting there trying to do that. Whatever you're feeling, let it come and go. There's nothing solid there. Nothing's really happening. It's just the feeling. And because the freedom in Buddhism is the freedom to do whatever we want, but realizing no matter what the strong feelings are or the difficulties we experience, if we don't get caught up in holding on to what we want and what we don't want, it's all conditions that are just flowing through us like the weather. You know, you don't have to get involved. It'll keep changing. You try to direct it in the best way you can, but you also don't control it. Another thing is we don't control how we feel. You know, or why would anyone be depressed? Nobody wants to have fear, depression, all the negative feelings. Why do we have them? Because we don't control them. They're due to karma. And there's a saying of the Buddha I always like, volition is the doer of karma. Feelings are the reaper of karma. And what that means is volition, our choices, set up what's important, what we're holding on to, what we want, all the rest. And we make choices, just like if I get caught up in wanting to get something right, if it goes wrong, I feel really bad. If you know what I mean. You know, I can even remember here, I talked the Abby into kind of letting me do something those days, which was they wasn't so easy to do, which is buy really nice wood for actually the kitchen cabinets in the guest house. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to make these really nice cabinet doors, you know, cabinet things. And I spent all this, made a lot of effort, and actually hadn't worked with some of the stains and all, and it didn't work out as that, it didn't come out as good as I wanted. Actually, I don't think probably almost anyone cares or notices. No, I doubt all of you may have looked at those cabinets at some point, and I don't think you would have ever thought about, oh, it could have been finished a little bit better. But I remember how much it bothered me, because I was trying to, in a way, impress people. Wow, I made these really nice cabinets in there. And it's just, and that's the nature of anything, you know, if I'm trying to do something, you know, and it doesn't come out and I'm holding on to it, then I feel that's the karma, you know, just like we've all probably had the karma where we're looking really forward to seeing somebody and then we see them and it doesn't kind of, it's not that great a, you know what I mean? It's like it didn't go that well. It wasn't this warm, you know, great encounter. It was maybe fine, but it didn't match what we were expecting, and we feel bad. So that's one of the things with feelings. If we have the more expectations, the more demands, the more we want, the more we then feel bad. Oh, like if you want somebody to treat you well and they kind of ignore you, you can feel really hurt. Well, if you're not let go of a lot of the expectations, it's okay. They didn't pay any attention to me, so what? Just like I remember having somebody, I was guest master here, and I remember somebody wrote me after the retreat, a new person on an introductory retreat for a week, and he kind of wrote me that a letter thanking me for my teaching and some other things, and just said, it's a shame you didn't like me. And I thought that's interesting. I didn't want to write back. I never thought about you. I mean, there was like 25 new people. He was doing fine. I didn't give him a thought. And you know, but I don't know, but different expectations come and you interpret it in different ways. And I just kind of thought, okay, what? You know, I didn't treat him any differently than anyone, you know, else, but I didn't even chat with him, but he wouldn't have known if I chatted with every, you know, who I chatted with, I usually, but that's the nature of things, and the freedom is, in Buddhism, it comes from realizing we don't have to be bound by our feelings, bound by these conditions, bound by all the stuff. If we don't make it, if we just sit still, it's going to arise and pass. Think of all the times in your life you've been angry. Hopefully, it's not happening right now. But what happened to it? You were disappointed. All the feelings you've had in your life. It's almost like you've had ate a lot of good meals. Does it really mean anything right now? You know, and if you're hungry, does it matter that? Wow, but that pizza 2 weeks ago was great. It all passes like a dream. And there's a Zen, one of those Zen stories I always like, one of my favorite teaching stories, which is somebody comes up to a master and says, I always have great difficulty with the heat. I find it very hard to deal with. And then when it's cold, I also find it very hard to deal with being cold. How do I find the place that's neither too hot nor too cold? And the master said, when it is hot, be completely hot. When it is cold, be completely cold. Then you will find the place that's neither too hot nor too cold. And it sounds like, sometimes it's phrased almost like it's a Zen koan, but it's actually rather straightforward. If you fully accept where you are, you realize it's not a problem. The problem is not wanting to be where you are. If you're cold, you're cold. What's the big deal? If you're hot, you're hot. You may feel like, oh, it'd be nicer if it wasn't hot, but if you don't have a choice, be hot. You know, the same way as right now, this afternoon, it'll be hot, and, you know, whether you find it comfortable or uncomfortable, so what? You know, and that's the nature of it. And with whatever we're feeling, just accept it wholeheartedly and just see what it's telling you. Because often we push away the difficult feelings. We don't want to feel them. Or we don't, or it's upsetting. Wow, I feel jealous or I feel afraid or something wrong. In Buddhism, it's fine to be afraid. You're supposed to be, you know, fear isn't something you're eliminating by practicing. You're learning you don't have to be moved by the fear. Om to the one who leaps beyond all fear doesn't mean that he doesn't feel any fear. It's that he's not moved by the fear. It's fine. In fact, one of the first things I ever read on Zen was someone was in Japan and he's sitting in a high building at some business meeting. And an earthquake happened. And the high building, which if you're in a skyscraper, they'll sway wildly. They're usually safe in that they're made to sway wildly. But he said everyone in the building sort of, you can see the fear and the upset. And he saw one person just sitting there, meditating. And he kind of said, I have to find out why this one person isn't getting caught up in it. And the person obviously was practicing meditation and just used it as an opportunity to meditate. And we often think that pain, loss, fear are suffering, but they're not. They're just something passing through us. We make it into suffering by rejecting it and feeling like it's a problem. And it's how we approach it. The same way as somebody can approach pain positively or something positively, and suddenly in rather being a negative, it's a positive. The same way as somebody, and, you know, because pain doesn't need to be suffering. You know, if we embrace it with a positive, just a teaching for us, something we have to look at and let go and just watch it arise and pass. Well, if you obsess on the pain, it gets worse and worse. Same way as when I've talked to people with chronic pain. Often they have a real problem if they don't have anything to occupy themselves with, like somebody who has to stop working. I've had this a few times. Somebody has really chronic pain and finally they feel like they can't keep working with it. It's understandable. But then without working, they actually start concentrating on how bad they feel. Well, when they worked, they couldn't concentrate on how bad they felt. They had to work. Same way as if you're not feeling well, you go to work, and often you don't even pay attention to the fact that you're not feeling well. But if you just concentrate on not feeling well, you'll actually start feeling worse. Same way as if all of you right now just concentrated very intensely on your lower back and just spent 15 minutes concentrating, how does your lower back feel? I guarantee you, it'll get uncomfortable. You know, it'll start feeling weird, like this doesn't feel right. You know, just, and if you concentrate on many things in life, it'll suddenly start becoming like, oh, this isn't what I want. Just like concentrate how someone else is treating you. And often suddenly you find like, oh, I don't like that. rather than realizing, why do you care? What difference does it make? And the Dharma is pointing us to a filter where we're trying to embrace whatever's happening to us, the good, the bad feelings, and realizing they're all part of our spiritual path. This is the path of Buddhism, is not to have these feelings, but how does it all become part of the whole that our heart and mind can embrace, and realize that it's not standing in the way of us finding the Buddha, finding the deepest spiritual place. In fact, unless we can embrace it, we're actually cutting ourselves off from a deep spiritual place, and we're just getting lost in what I want and what I don't want. And so and pain is like information. It's telling us to look at something. We may have something we can change to get rid of the pain, and that's good to do. Same way as if I can help somebody else have less pain, sure, that would be right action. If I can do something to eliminate my pain, that's compassionate to my body, my, you know, mind, to get rid of the pain. And frequently when I have pain come up, you know, something really uncomfortable and difficult, I'll kind of realize, God, I hate this. And I realize I better train deeper, because I talk to people who have 10 times worse problems than this. And I have to kind of tell them, or point them to trying to feel okay with what's going on. So I better work harder trying to feel okay with the fact that I really don't like this. And I have to stop my mind from spinning, like, what happens if, you know, I can't get this better? And realize, you know, I'll take it one step at a time. Who knows? And we don't know what it'll mean. You know, and one of the ways we find a way to create and maintain a lack of acceptance of what's going on is finding something to criticize and blame. Like, this is making me suffer. You know, this person's causing me to suffer. This situation is making me cause to suffer. I remember a while back talking to someone, and they were even thinking about becoming a monk, but he had very intense feelings that would overwhelm him. You know, he was, in fact, they had been driving him throughout his whole life, making it hard to maintain a relationship, you know, hard to maintain work, because whenever he felt bad, he felt like he had to react and not put up with it. And after practicing for a bit, he kind of comes to me, he said, I felt this really intense feeling, and I didn't act upon it. That was good, wasn't it? And I kind of said, sort of essential that we can do that. And then many years later, I'm talking to the same person, and he had a real problem with somebody did something that lost their temper with him and hurt his feelings fairly deeply. And I'm talking to him, and I kind of goes, and he's kind of telling me how difficult he finds to be around the person and all the rest now. But he says, but I realize it has nothing to do with them. You know, it's all my karma. That, why do I have that difficulty? And that's actually an important, once we take it that the difficulty isn't, nobody's making us feel bad. You know, it's how we react to it that's making us feel bad. So you can actually, and that's why we can solve all the suffering. As long as outside conditions are making us suffer, we're stuck with trying to get the world better, trying to get other people to solve our suffering, make us feel better. While the liberating thing about the Dharma is, it's all up to us. You know, no one is making us suffer in the real sense. Yes, it's understandable at times. I don't, you know, just like in this case, I understood why the person was hurt, and I usually wouldn't tell the person who's hurt, like, oh, it's, you know, just, you know, don't, you know, you can make yourself not, you know, it's all you causing the suffering, because that's not very compassionate. It's understandable that people who are hurt by someone else is going to have, and it's a whole process to learn to accept it. It's not like you can just accept it by telling yourself you need to accept it. But on the other hand, when you realize that's the path, then you realize, okay, that's what I need to do. I have to stop blaming them, stop criticizing them, and realizing I can change it. And it's even something we have to do with ourselves. We can think, I'm such a poor trainee, that's why I'm suffering. You know, if I was just better at this, you know, I wouldn't be suffering. In a way, that's blaming ourselves. Just accept it. This is karma. You know, if you're finding doing, the, you know, kind of letting go of stuff hard, I'd never talk to anyone who's not finding it hard. I find it hard. You know, if you're finding this all easy, you probably should be doing the Dharma talk. You know, because no one I know finds all, you know, hopefully over time you've let go of a lot of it, but then you notice some of the stuff that you took for granted now you have to let go of. You know, you see, it starts going to deeper ways. We're holding on to the self, holding on to what we want, holding on to unconscious expectations of how things should be, how we should be treated, how we should behave. You know, it took me a while just to see how critical I was of myself, and I had to let go of it and let go of the fact, you know, that it, you know, the feelings that came up from that. And if we don't open our heart to what we're feeling, in a way we're stopping ourselves from opening our heart to the Buddha. You know, we won't. And when we sit still with the feelings, often we can see deeper and deeper where it's coming from. For instance, a good example is often when we're angry, what's causing the anger, you know, anger means in a way we're not getting what we want. But underneath it is really a fear that's there. We're not acting on anger. It's being motivated by a fear. And the fear is the fact that something in us feels threatened. And we have to kind of stop reacting to the anger and then sit still with the fear. See in a way what we're worried about and see in a way that we can learn to trust that even if that happens, it's okay. You know, that there's nothing to fear. But we first have to identify what the fear is. You know, we have to see what it is that we're holding on to. And part of training is a lot of times our feelings overwhelm us. To say you can't, wow, I shouldn't blame anyone. Well, sometimes it's going to just overwhelm you. Somebody does something and, you know, you're overwhelmed. Just like anger. Where do you catch the anger? Do you catch it when the thought arises? Does you catch it when you've been dwelling on it for a bit? Do you catch it when you say something? Do you catch it 20 minutes after you blew up at somebody? You know, you catch it at all these different points, and we all catch it at different points. And training is, can we move it sooner in the process? You know, realize I can catch it before I say something. I've had plenty of situations where I realize somebody's getting to me. I better get away from them if I can, because anything I say is going to be colored by the fact that I'm upset or angry or I have this strong feeling. I've sometimes had it where I said something completely correct to somebody and they're annoyed at me because they could pick up the undertone. And I'm thinking, I said the right words, and then they come back and they said, but. They could look at me and realize I was annoyed. So, you know, and we try to catch it as quick as we can. And, you know, and a part of letting go of feelings is just seeing what we tell ourselves about having that feeling. You know, if you tell yourself, you know, I'm a mess or that, something is wrong with me or something is wrong with someone else. Just like when somebody makes a mistake, see what you tell yourself. You know, when you say they should, you know, get upset like they shouldn't have made that mistake. That's kind of why not? Why shouldn't they have made the mistake? It's probably a normal human thing that people do all the time to make the mistake. Why do you think of it? Even like when people get upset, like obviously a lot of people found, the previous president difficult. But on the other hand, it's just a lot of people think that way. It just happened that they're not president. He just happened due to karma be the president. If he was my crazy uncle, I wouldn't think twice about him. You know what I mean? He would have been just, I would have just thought, God, that's a rather self-absorbed person, but he had power. And sometimes people think, well, if they have power, it's doing all, but on the other hand, from their point of view, they're just being, making choices, making decisions. Same way as we often are very judgmental about our parents and our children because we're stuck with them. And rather than just looking around and thinking, well, in the scheme of parents, then, you know what I mean? There's nothing special going on there or children. It's like, this is the nature of things. I look around, they're just parents, just like I think with parents. People often have trouble with their parents, I think. If you had to take a test and exam to qualify as a parent, would most people think, I think you're ready to have children? it's not like most people have children. The majority, a heavy percentage of the population has children, and it's not surprising that, they're people. So, you have their karma. And just to realize. So going back to when you feel bad, you need to look at what you're asking for. When you're afraid, I need to look at what's threatened and try to take to heart the Dharma, and try to trust that it's okay what's going on. And it's okay to have this feeling. It'll just pass. It's even one of those things we often tell people, and it's funny that we don't often believe it fully when it happens to us, is people will have something happen and we'll tell them, you'll feel better. It'll pass. But you notice how when it's you have trouble taking that in. It's almost like you almost feel like this feeling's not going to change. Despite all of us living a life in which all the feelings have come and gone, and yes, there's traces of them left, but they don't fill us. We can't stay filling. Just like anger. Think of when you're furious, how you can't stay furious. It's exhausting. You can't stay really angry because it just wears you out. It can keep flaring up. The same way as something that hurt, you can think of it again. And yeah, it'll bother you again. It's like almost like you can fan those coals and have them burst up a little bit. But, they usually don't, doing it. And it's just feeling. Just like if I've made a mistake in the past, when I think about it, it still hurts. That's the karma. Just the same way as if I got something right, I think about it, it generates a little bit of the nice feeling again. And we all do that, don't we? Bring up a memory that makes us feel better, bring up a memory that makes us feel worse. And there's feelings that give it power. But in a way, they're all like a dream. They have no substance. And that's the point, and it's like in a Buddhist scripture I like, they go, most sentient beings are lost in a dream of birth and death. The dream isn't that it's not happening. The dream is the importance we give all those things. This goes well. I feel good now. I feel bad now. What's the significance to it? What's the meaning of it? Why do you care so much? You know, something happens wrong, somebody insults you. You know, just like the other day, I did something driving. I don't even know what, but some driver was annoyed at me. I'm thinking, you're driving in the Bay Area. This is going to be happening all the time. You know, and in fact, and not only that, is sometimes you're going to be the bad driver, because we all are at times, or nobody's always the good driver, because at times it's the nature of things. We just weren't careful enough. You know, I even recently had it where I just looked at my rear view mirror, and by the time I turned and looked forward, somebody had braked in front of me, and I, you know, hit my brakes, and I just thought, whoa, I'm glad I didn't look longer in that rear view mirror. Because, you know, I could have run into the car behind, you know, kind of done that. And, you know, just to accept, you know, what's going on. And in a way, we have to look at, and there's a nice poem I remember sending out as a, you know, to people in a card for like a season's greeting card, where it says, we're all a guest house. We have all these guests come. Often they're on, they're guests who are going to tear up our house, make problems, cause all these difficulties. We have to welcome them all and realize they're all kind of a gift for us, teaching us something and pointing us to a deeper spiritual place. Paraphrasing Rumi, who wrote the poem a bit. And in a way, all our difficult emotions, our fears, our despair, our anger, they're things that are asking us for help. And if you look at your life, those emotions will keep coming up until you deal with them. Something irritates you, you know, just like the person driving. If it irritates you, won't it keep irritating you? If getting stuck in traffic irritates you, won't it keep bothering you? You know, it's not like each time you, I know people, each time they get stuck in traffic, they're annoyed. It's like, okay, you, in a way, you're not learning anything. You're not using this as a teaching. You know, you're in a perfectly comfortable car, not moving. Where's the suffering? You know, just relax. Somebody doesn't treat you the way you want. Why are you making a problem out of it? It's a teaching. If you want to find real peace, you have to both realize the teaching and having compassion and trying to see through it and realize how you can react differently, how you can just let it be and accept what is going on. Because in a way, part of training is how do we convert each of these pieces, that are each of these difficult emotions, to find that there's not a problem there. And it's all the life of Buddha. You know, and it's even why people often get the spiritual breakthroughs in dealing with the difficulties generally. Not when, you know, everything's going well, but when things are difficult, and usually very difficult, that people realize none of these things are binding you. Anyway, I think I'll end the talk there. Homage to all the Buddhas, homage to all the Dharmas, homage to all the Sanghas.